All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Rome Public Infrastructure Districts number 1 and 2. Today is Friday, October 18th. It's 1:33 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. Everyone on the call, if we could go through and have you state your name for the recording and the record. Board, let's start with you, Walker.
Walker Wood, member of the board.
Colton Hunsaker, board member.
David Hutchison with CLA.
And I am Jennifer Gallants with Snow Jensen and Reese.
Right, that's everyone I show that's on the call. Jennifer, do we have anyone there at the anchor location?
We do not.
All right.
We've got
All right,
Seth
we'll
joining.
go. I'm sorry, what was that, Jennifer?
We have Seth joining.
Oh, all right. We'll make a note that Seth is joining. I didn't think he would with him being gone. Welcome, Seth. Right, we'll go to our first consent items, which are the minutes from our last board meeting for both districts 1 and 2 on July 19th. Board, have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate to
No comments on the minutes.
Okay. Could we get a motion to approve both District 1 and 2's minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the district from District 1 and District 2 held on July 19th, 2024.
Thanks, Walker.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Holton. All those in favor say aye.
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 That's unanimous. And Seth, for the record, we noted that you had joined, so thank you. All right, I'll turn off, and now I'll turn the time over to David to walk through the financial statements.
All right. So for Rome Public Infrastructure District number 1, financial statements as of September 30th, 2024. In the balance sheet, we have a total of $33,479.52 in the checking account. We have that split between debt service and general for the admin costs that are budgeted for the remainder of the year. And then for a bond fund, $198,739. UMB surplus fund, $464,015. The pledged revenue fund, $96. And due to other districts, or due from other districts, excuse me, from PID 2 is $985. In the general fund statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances, we have $53,000 budgeted administrative expenses, of which $23,485.86 rounded would has been expended so far, made up of the accounting, insurance, and legal so far. And there has been 20 or $53,000 transferred in from other funds. Moving on to the debt service fund, schedule of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balances. Revenues, we have budgeted $135,195, of which we've had actual to date $26,275. Most of that has come from interest income. We're expecting the largest portion of property taxes to be coming in at the end of the year, so this last quarter, and then we have some intergovernmental revenues also. We have paid the paying agent fees so far this year and the bond interest, so no budget equals actual, and we've had $53,000 transferred to the other fund, to general. And that is that. That I guess, are there any questions with Rome District 1 so far?
Is there anything there that you would say is out of the ordinary or that we should be concerned about?
I think it's looking fairly normal. I mean, we may have a little more interest income than what we budgeted. We tend to budget on the conservative side, but interest rates have gone down a little bit, and so that may tail off a little bit and come in pretty close, but the expenses, heavier expenses come in towards the end of the year with the budget, budgeting process and the financial and that. And then also auditing has not been invoiced yet, that as they're still working through the prior year audit and they haven't invoiced that. So, nothing really jumps out at me right now. It's fairly in line with what I would expect at this point.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions, or you want me to jump over to PID 2?
No further questions.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say go to PID 2, David.
All right, so for PID 2, this one's pretty straightforward as far as there's balance sheet and in the checking account, there's $985.26, and due to the other district is that same amount. And for debt service, we're still waiting on the property taxes to come in, obviously, but $15,327 budgeted, and interest income has been fairly in line with what we budgeted. Expenditures, we've had $15 in bank fees, and then intergovernmental expenditures of $1,389. And that's that. Any questions there?
No.
Yeah, I did have a question also. This is not, I was wondering if there was a minimum balance on that checking account, if anyone knows, to try and avoid bank fees, where there's so little amount. I don't know if anyone knows that off the top of their head or if that's something we can look into.
Shelby was the one that helped us set up those accounts, so she'd probably know them better than any.
Okay. I'll reach out to Shelby then. And I thought that might've been someone on the district that set that up. But we'll check with her on that then. Okay. Sorry. Any other questions anyone has?
I have a question just going back to the bank account balances for the previous fund. Are those funds getting swept on the back end? Like any concern, right? Because I believe was the number you had in those bank accounts roughly 400 grand? Just that we're over that 250K FDIC insured limit. Is there any, I don't think it's sweep accounts is the right term, but
they're investment accounts. The ones, these UMB accounts are investment accounts. And so my understanding is the district at some point has elected which investments to invest those funds in. And so when a deposit's made or when interest is earned, then yes, that money gets swept into that investment account. And so all of these funds are pooled into one investment account, and that way that you get a better, more favorable interest rate.
Okay. I think we're out of the smaller regional bank scare that we had, 12 months ago, or
right,
when everyone was rushing to make sure they only had 250 grand in each account. So anyway, that was more just from a risk perspective, I guess, as far as how much was sitting in one bank account and make sure we were protected in that way.
Okay. I can reach out to UMB and make sure we're, kind of the nuances to that FDIC insurance as far as how we have it set up with these investment accounts, if you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't think they qualify, Holden, just because they're investment accounts. They're not typical. They're not the FDIC insured bank accounts that we're familiar with.
That's very well possible. Yeah. I can confirm that though.
I agree, okay. Seth, with it being bond proceeds. Okay. All right, let's move on then. David, if you'll walk through these tentative draft budgets, that way board, once we go through them, we can just keep the same schedule that we had planned before for the November tentative budget board meeting. Since we already have those, we'll just go ahead, roll these budgets over to that. So we can just approve them then.
Okay. All right. So for Rome, PID number one, kind of summary of the entire thing. For budget year 2025, we'll have a beginning fund balances of $690,890. We've presented this a little bit differently for the property taxes than in the future year, trying to align this to the way that this is actually going to work, because you'll have revenues of property taxes in 2024. And then we're saying, since those are actually going to be used to pay bond proceeds and our bond things, and then the admin costs in the following year, we've added this additional line for property taxes applied to the following year. So one, to remove this amount here and then add it there for the budget. Anticipating approximately 30,000 in interest income, and then intergovernmental revenues of 21,585, with additional transfers in 54,500, and expenditures from the general fund 54,500, debt service fund 228,000, and nothing in the capital projects, obviously, and transfers out requiring appropriation, $337,050. So, and then available for operations, and we do not have anything there, but debt service surplus fund, we're anticipating approximately $712,993. Moving on specifically to the general fund, the budgeted, no other revenue is budgeted, but expenditures anticipating 21,500 in accounting, auditing 8,500, insurance 3,000, and legal 21,500. And that makes up that total of 54,500 that we were looking at. Moving on to the debt service fund, property taxes, that's where that's coming from, what we looked at. The intergovernmental, or interest income, the 30,000, 21,585 intergovernmental revenues. But the other makeup of those debt service costs, expenditures were the bond interest, 221,000, and paying agent fees of 7,000. So pretty consistent from the prior year too. And that's just coming from the debt service schedule too. And nothing budgeted for capital projects. We just are required included in here because of the 2023 actuals. And that is that. Any questions that or concerns you'd like to, or ideas, things you'd like to maybe modify a little bit, or I don't know. Maybe you guys have a chance to look at this a little later, and then have your thoughts and that. But if there's anything, we can talk through it right now.
I don't have any questions at the moment.
Okay. All right. We'll move over to the PID number two. So just the debt service fund. Property taxes, 20,177 is what is being estimated at this point. And interest income about $12. So pretty small amount. We still have this banking fees, $50, but like I say, I'll look into that, see what we can do to see if we can try and avoid those for such small amounts. Why pay bank fees, right? And then intergovernmental expenditures, 20,139. Any questions here?
No.
Okay. And just as a note, the signs were mixed up on this, on that first version that I sent over, and that's what I made the change on. So this one was showing as a negative, and this one was positive last version. So.
Thanks for that. Okay, board, any questions about either of those budgets? So looks like, just looking through, a little over 3.5 years in PID 1 for the bond payments, but property taxes look like they're getting up to where they can make the payment. So ahead of schedule, so that's always a good thing. Seth, you and I had talked about the transition of the board. So I think we have talked about it, but wanted to talk about it with you guys collectively. So we'll get on the cycle next year, which is the municipal cycle that's up there in Morgan County. So I'll deal with the clerk. Typically, they're going to put things on the ballot. There's a deadline for their commission, council, I guess now, and in August to set the ballot. So I'll get with them. There will be a charge to the district to have them run the election for us. So one, I want to make sure you guys are good with them running it so we don't have to do it on our own. And it, they'll have all the people that are in, inside of the districts. So it'll be on their ballots, those kind of things. I'll get the quote from them on how much it's going to cost to do it. But in Morgan County, all the taxing entities use the county to provide that service for them. So just wanted to make sure everybody was good with that. And then I'll deal with the clerk's office April timeframe of next year to make sure we get that transition for seat number one.
What's the other option if we don't do it through the county?
We would have to do it ourselves.
And is that like, is there certain requirements? Can we just do emails? Do we just...
No, you have to send physical ballots out to everybody. You have to know who's primary residence, secondary residences, all of those things. I mean, we can do it. It's just the county can probably do it more efficiently than we can. I'll get a price from them and kind of see what you guys all think based on the price. I'd have to try to figure out how much time it would take for us to do it. Again, we can do it. Just I wouldn't mind seeing what their price would be, what their cost.
I'd probably lead towards them too. I just wouldn't. I just don't know what it takes to do something like that as a simple mail, like, post. Is it, you know, just essentially doing all the postage and getting it mailed and getting them mailed back and tallying it up? Because if that's all it is, I mean, we've got staff that can probably help us with that, or or do that sort of thing. But if it's minimal,
that is, here's the thing that I would want you guys to think about is, at some point, you know, it's going to completely turn over the board. What I wouldn't want is somebody to come in and say, hey, it's the same group, it's the same development group that's doing the election. And so was there any shenanigans going on with the tallies, the voting, you know, poll watchers, that whole kind of thing, where if we have the county do it, there's no issues. The county just comes back and says, here's who got it. Now, if we don't have anyone sign up to do it, then the board stays in place, or you guys have the ability to appoint somebody else to that seat. So
how do we notify them and say, hey, this board is up for a vote, and get people to how do we get candidates essentially?
Yeah, we have to send out a notice to them that there is this vacancy and they can sign up, and then there's a process for them to do it. So again, we can pass that off to the county, or you guys could do it. CW could do it. We would just need to get the roles from the county clerk on, you know, the different voters who's registered, as well as the property owners, because we have to do it to both. We have to make sure.
But they have to be residents, not property owners, to be elected. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, no, they have to be a property owner because they're the ones that would have the say because they're the ones being taxed. But I think, and I'll double check, but I think you also have to be a registered voter. I think it's both. But again, I'll go through it with the county clerk on at least the county side, and then I'll get with Matt and we'll go through what the code says and then what's in the bond provisions.
David, my only, as you prepare budgets for next year, maybe work with Michael and make sure we have additional budgeted to do this election.
So, I guess this will be an administrative cost. We can add a line in there for election, or just like miscellaneous charges.
Miscellaneous. Yeah, that's what I would say. Just do miscellaneous.
Okay, I'll get a line added for miscellaneous, and then once you come back with an estimated amount, then I can add that in there, and we can adjust the budget for that.
Okay.
And
Okay,
then
that's all I had.
the only other thing on that, we've met the requirement for one board member, but by the time that election comes around, I wouldn't be surprised if it's all board members or two board members
Okay.
that are up. So just keep that in mind as we're probably doing it for possibly up to all three. And
Okay.
then the other thing to consider or keep in mind is, well, how do, I mean, we'll probably all stay in place for board District 2, where there hasn't been really any development there. So we've been functioning essentially for both of them, but we just maybe need to think about how that interaction will occur now that there's two boards and two different distinct board members, and how they share the bond and how they share the responsibility of making decisions regarding that bond.
Yep. Okay. I agree. And what's interesting is you guys stay, you serve until you're replaced. So we'll have to figure out, let's say nobody signs up. We're going to have to figure out, I mean, you guys will stay on, but we're going to have to figure out how to go to individuals inside of the district and get them so we can appoint them. Because that's the other option. If you can be appointed. So I think the appointing body would be the board. So we would just have to figure that out, the process, find people inside of the district that would be willing, and then move down that road. So if we get to where it's going to be all three, that's going to be interesting. And then you guys are the first PID in the state that's going to reach the level where we're going to start converting board members. So you're going to be kind of the trial run for everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
With that discussion, I'd like to make the motion to accept the Q3 financial statements for PID 1 and the Q3 financial statements for PID 2.
Thanks, Seth, for reminding me. Okay, we have a motion.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Holt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's unanimous. That's all I had, board, for you. Do you guys have anything that you want to bring up?
Nothing for
Not at
me.
this time. Nothing that we haven't already
Okay.
discussed.
Okay. Seth, how's the weather?
It's been rainy off and on.
Well,
You
don't
seem
let it
thrilled
ruin
about
you.
it. You
Exactly. All
how
right.
it's just take time off for fall break and travel 4 hours commute somewhere and then be stuck inside the whole time.
Yeah, that's gotta suck.
The beard's looking good, though. You got that going, that's for sure.
Need to keep it, Seth. It's getting winter. Keep it. Stay warm.
Yeah, I will. All right, is there
Nice.
anything else?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, bye.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Seth.
I'll second that.
Thanks, Holt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, unanimous. Okay, thanks, you guys.